Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we've been talking about success for Christians, how we define it, how we define it for ourselves, and where do we see it in our Christian communities. And we talked about, so often we're motivated by others that we see, that we admire. Now, this is good and bad. If someone we admire that we want to be like is truly a certain way, that's somebody we want to pursue, find out how they are doing what they're doing. But unfortunately, very often, the role models that Christians are emulating and admiring, we have no idea what they're really like in their personal lives. And that's really what it matters. It doesn't really matter how good they look on television or how they sound even. And it makes it very difficult, or behind the pulpit or on radio or the books they write, or even the neighbor sitting next to you in the pew, we often don't know what's really going on in that household, in that person's life. Not about whether they're perfect or hypocrites or anything like that, but what we want to learn how to do is how to depend on the Father. So where do we go? We look back to the example that Jesus left us. There was nobody on earth that he could emulate. He had no role models. Nobody was depending on his Father the way his new nature, his spirit being, dependent on the Father. They were all following the Father according to the law. And he knew the requirement that was going to be on him was to know him and follow him personally, one-on-one, spending time with him face-to-face. So he had to do that fresh. He learned how to know the Father by doing it. He learned how to live as a spirit being by doing it. And so, say he was approximately 30 when he began his public ministry and began gathering followers and disciples. Now, what's intriguing is those disciples lived with him. They traveled with him. They had intimate involvement in how he lived his life. And yet, they still asked, "Show us the Father." And his response was, "Have I been so long showing you the Father, and you still don't get it?" Now, part of that was they were still not Christians. They were still dead in their spirit. But part of it, too, was there was so much new that was being exemplified by Jesus about what Christianity, what religion, what Jewishness was the Messiah, there was such a change going on. To try to measure how good Jesus and his disciples were at being good followers of Yahweh, they failed. And this is why the priests went after him. He healed on the Sabbath day. He claimed promises from the scriptures to apply to him. They went through a field and harvested. They worked on the Sabbath. Jesus hung out with drunks and harlots and tax collectors. He did things the Father's way instead of their way. And they didn't know how to handle it. And without going too far afield, it was more important to them that they keep their control than allow God to do something new. They'd rather people not be healed at all if it meant a law being broken that they were healed on the Sabbath. So the example that Jesus gave was enough, though, to draw not only the Jews, but the Roman guards noticed what he was saying had such power behind it. And where did that power come from? It wasn't what he was saying. It was that the things he was saying had life. And he got that life from the Father. So Jesus lived with his disciples, showed them how to know his Father. And even if they weren't able to fully emulate everything he was doing because the time was not yet, after the resurrection, they knew what to do. After the resurrection, they were born again. Their spirits were enlivened with them. And they could know the Father as the Son had exemplified. But they learned and were provoked to know him. They desired to know the Father. Even the very concept of knowing God face to face, that used to be, from what everything they'd been taught, no, if you saw God, you'd die. And that's only for the Levites, for the special tribe. And the best you could do was fulfill the law and be blessed. And Jesus came with a whole other way, but they learned it by being with him. And then after the resurrection, the disciples went and lived in different towns so that people could learn by how they lived. They didn't write books and send out the books. They didn't build a church and have everybody come to them. No, they went out amongst the different villages and towns and cities, and they traveled. They spent time with people. Those people then could see God in their lives. This is what it looks like for God to be in our lives. And our challenge is, because for the vast part, for most of us, we don't have someone in our lives that exemplifies Christ the way Christ did. We're just not there yet. So we've substituted leaders, whether it's a pastor or even a parent or someone that we are a follower of. And we have placed our expectations and even drawn conclusions without really knowing what's going on. And there's, unfortunately, probably not too much we can do about that. You're going to have a hard time inviting, for instance, your pastor to move into your house so you could see if what he's preaching is really working and he truly is dependent on God. Instead, what we want to filter what we're learning with, is it working? And odds are, and kind of accept this, that you are going to have to walk this path yourself. We can encourage one another and we can have fellowship and share. But in so many ways, what's going to bind us together is not that we share a following, but hopefully that each of us, for our role model, is, again, Jesus Christ. That he has shown us how to know the Father, and we are doing it. And we are having to make our own mistakes. Now, we have wonderful historical figures. And we have wonderful people in our lives. And we have wonderful opportunities to be challenged and be active in the circumstances God has us in. Jesus went through all the training to be with his disciples. And then that one activity. Of those 3 years, 3.5 years of public ministry, for how many of those 3.5 years was he the Messiah? For those short days when he was captured and charged with overturning the religion, and all he went through, and then was crucified, and then rose again, of his whole life, that was a very, very, very short period of time. Up until then, in his public ministry, he was training those disciples. And he was training them much more by them being with him. And in fact, that was their calling. He called them to be with him. And this is where you and I have to take and have that confidence that he's saying the same thing to us. That there's no mediator between you and Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. It's just you and him. There's no authority. There's no interruption. You are to receive your direction from God, for better or for worse. Your circumstance, whether it's a help or a hindrance, merely something to pass through. And we come and we go, and we keep our focus on being with God. So as we truly learn how to depend on the Father, there may come a time when what you've been learning becomes so desired by those around you that you will need to be vulnerable and available. You know, we talk so much about how children learn from their parents. You can tell your kids this is how to behave, but if they see you behaving differently, they're going to go, okay, well, she doesn't really mean it. He doesn't really mean it. But God's not that way. He wants you to know what he really means. And we have to start with believing and knowing by experience that God loves us. And if you don't know that, start there. Lord, I need to know for sure and have confidence that you love me permanently. It's a done deal. It's not something you're kind of weighing in the balance, the good and the bad and the pros and the cons and the past and the future. And as we understand how God works in and through us, we can then allow him to bring into our lives and to put us in situations for ourselves, understanding that whether we are, for instance, in public ministry or not, has no bearing on our measure of success. All this to say, you may never, ever share publicly what God is doing in your life. Quote, unquote, have a public ministry, and yet have a much greater impact on those around you that you have stirred up a desire to know God on an individual basis. I know I've shared this story before, but I just love it, of Madame Jean Guyon, and she, after many tests that she went through, she had such a strong presence of God with her at all times that when she was living in this little town, this city, people would be turned away by the doctors and the hospitals and sent home to die. And there was one example where, and yet they would go to her and they'd be healed. And there was one example where this woman brought her friend who had cancer and was sent to home to die and said, come, meet this woman, and you'll be healed. And so she brought her to the house, and her friend went in to spend time with Madame Guyon by herself. And the woman came out a short time later, and her whole bearing and countenance was changed. And her friend said, what happened? And she said, I have to know God. And she goes, well, what do you mean? I have to know God. Says, but what about the cancer? Oh, yes, that was healed, but I have to know God. Our measure of success is different than what we are often told is Christian success. One of those is public ministry. Another is having an impact on the world. Another is just being able to achieve certain, you know, I've read the Bible X amount of times, or fill in the blank, or people reject me because I evangelize so much, whatever your particular thing is. And and just throw in that mix. When people are around you, are they stirred to know God? Does an encounter with you stir them to desire to know Him? Now, that may not always be easy to recognize. And the point being that, again, our success is different, and our role models are going to be different. When you recognize the peace, the rest, and the confidence that comes from dependence on God, when you run across someone who has that presence with them, don't be shy about asking how they got it. And don't settle for it's a gift or it's an anointing. How did you get that? How do you do it? How are you responding? If a person is truly depending on God, God's nature is flowing to and through him. And since God's nature is basically, again, to give, anyone that is truly depending on God will have no qualms about sharing with you how he is maintaining and developing a relationship with God. Very often, the ones that say it's a gift, or it's an anointing, or so-and-so prayed for me, they don't have that dependent relationship. It is a gift or an anointing. But without that dependent relationship, without knowing him, and not without being drawn and drawing others, there's a limited life there. So anyone depending on God themselves will be willing to mentor and instruct others on the practical things they can do to enjoy the freedom and confidence that comes with this relationship. And confidence is such a big thing. Confidence comes from testing. Testing what you know, testing what you think you know and believe. But when someone tells you, this is how to know God, do it. If it doesn't work, try something else. Don't let anything divert you from pursuing the knowledge of God, because he wants to be known. And because he wants to be known is the guarantee that however you pursue him, he will reveal himself to you. Because that desire to know him can only come from him. It's certainly not going to come from your enemies, the world, the flesh, or the world system, your own flesh, or the devil. Your enemies don't want you to know God. So if you have that desire to know him, it's coming from him. And if it's coming from him, he doesn't tease. He is in the process of revealing himself and to you and satisfying those desires and those needs and those even those wants. And again, those role models, because we don't really spend time with them, we really have a hard time being able to verify their character. And now character is a weird thing. We've kind of lost that whole concept these days that people should have high character. And even Christians, okay, this is the way it is now. We live in different times. It's okay to lie. It's okay to cheat. It's okay to steal. But it's not. And it affects your character. And it's not the what people say. A good way to judge whether people around your role model are depending on God is, are those around them, do they feel unconditionally accepted by that person? Or is there a striving? Is there an effort to measure up or please that person? So it's a hard, but we have a hard time getting close enough to be able to ask their children, do you feel unconditionally loved? Their spouse, do you feel valued unconditionally as a person? Are your opinions just as valuable? The successfully dependent Christian will be freely giving of him or herself to those around them, and not and allow them the freedom to be who and where God has them at any given moment. Now, that doesn't mean meeting every demand, and that doesn't mean that all behavior is accepted, but there's a sense that we're all in this together. And we're all in this to know God. But then that brings us all to how do we know how we're doing? Because in a lot of ways, that's what we want to know on a regular basis, because that is all about trial and error. We know how we're doing if we're heading down the wrong road. We don't want to be going down for too long until we find out, wait a minute, we're heading in the wrong direction before we change. That's like if we wait until we're dead to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't that waiting too long? Don't we need to know on a regular basis you're on the right track? And that's really what asking the Lord about our own success is all about. How am I doing? Am I on the right track? Well, God doesn't want us to wait until we die. It'd be a little late, wouldn't it? So how can we know how we're doing now? We can ask the judge. Unlike in the Olympics, our judge is also our coach and our teammate. He has walked this way before, and he knows what it's like. And most often, we will find that we are much harder on ourselves than he is. But he does want us to know how we're doing. So he will often give us tokens of accomplishment or even graduation appropriate to what we have overcome or learned or experienced. God knows we need encouragement. And he does what he needs to encourage us, to keep us returning to him for that encouragement. So often we think, well, God's done his part, it's up to me to do the rest. But that's not from him. Keep an eye out for his encouragements. And that's your assignment for this week. And we'll pick it up here next week, the same time. You can drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org or the contact form on therainersclub.org. Until next week, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of The Rainers Radio. Have a great night.